Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Stony Creek Church this fine Sunday. Today, we have a special treat for you. We've been singing about revival, and revival means we come to terms with where we're at and we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and make big changes. We deal with our hang-ups and our hurts and our habits. Here at Stony Creek Church, we have a ministry especially targeting that particular need. And who of us doesn't have hang-ups and hurts and habits that we don't need to deal with? But this ministry is called Celebrate Recovery, and it's going to start back up. It's been down for a while due to COVID and other things, but it's going to start back up on Monday evenings. And here to tell you about it is the leader of that ministry, Celebrate Recovery, here at Stony Creek Church. This is a man that God has raised up among us to be used to help us work through our issues. And so please, welcome Chris Nelson. Chris, come on out.
What's going on, guys? All right, man. All right, let's pray. We'll jump in. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the opportunity that we all have to gather together freely. Please, God, use this time as all of us, majority of us, have been praying into this time. Lord, help us to really maximize it and use it the most for your glory. We love you, Jesus, and we need your help because we don't know what we're doing. In your name, Jesus, amen. Yes, ma'am. Cool. So it was mid-January 2008. I was at a Narcotics Anonymous convention in Burbank, California. And before Chuck, the main speaker, got up that Saturday night to give his story, they would have what's called a recovery roundup. Recovery roundup is where you start with somebody that's got 24 hours, and then you work your way up. All right, you got a week, now you got a month, you know, 2 months, all the way to a year. And then after that, you just start going year by year up to about 50 years where, you know, one or two people will stand up and say, yeah, I've got 50 plus years clean and sober. I had at that time a little bit less than 3 months clean and sober. That was nights, weekends, and holidays. Just kidding. That was a good one. I'm just kidding. Yeah, you got to combine them. So anyway, at that time, I go and I stand up for a little less than 3 months. And the Chuck, the main speaker that night, he said something that's going to carry with me this entire time. He said that there is no reason why every one of you can't come back to this convention this time next year with 1 year clean. No reason. And when he said that, I'm telling you, my wife says I'm such an extremist, but I'm like, there was nothing in this universe that was going to stop me from coming back to that convention that time next year with 1 year clean and sober. And by God's grace, I did, and it was such a cool thing, you know, so I got to stand up among them. But what you notice, though, number one thing, there is about 75% of the room is people with 1 year less clean and sober. Like, out of all, there's thousands of people at these conventions, 75% of the room have less than 1 year clean, less than 1 year sober. So what's interesting, I guess what I pulled away from all that stuff and what I was focusing on today is that I'm preaching this message to all of you guys in here, but the reality of it is I'm preaching to a very few select one of you guys that's going to decide to take this stuff and apply it to your life and have that life change and come back here 1 year from today, free from whatever kind of hurt, habit, struggle, whatever you got going on, whatever you're into. It might not be drugs or alcohol, but come back 1 year from today clean from that thing. And that'd be the hope that I'm preaching to you like crazy today. Like, that's for you. So, and I guess the message or the encouragement is be the few. Just be the few. All right, so today we're going to start with the main idea. The one thing you're to remember if you forget everything else, and if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, Jesus is always with, or Jesus is with you always. Make sure you are always with him. With him. So today we're going to do the three main things, the three most important lessons I've learned in recovery so far. Number one, confess your sins. That's the fun one, right? I always get the fun stuff. So confess your sins. James 5:16 says, Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That's a staple verse in Celebrate Recovery. That's why we gather together. That's why we meet every single week. It's confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. How many of you guys in this room have been Christians for over 1 year? Raise your hand. Over 1 year Christians? So probably the majority of us, right? Not like the other number. So over 1 year. Okay, cool. All right, so I'm going to do an analogy here. I think it's going to ring true for all of us, right? How many of you guys have ever had, and it's only a 2 or 3 year old, okay? So it's not anything over, it's a 2 or 3 year old. You teach them how to play hide and go seek. And you say, all right, now you go and hide. The first thing they're going to do is go into the corner and they're going to put their hands over their eyes and then they're going to say, come and find me. And any good parent, grandparent, sibling, whatever, is going to walk into the room and say, oh, where are you? I don't know, where are you? And they're giggling their butts off, right? They love it. They're having the time of their life. Okay? What if your kid's 13 years old and they say, hey, mom, dad, I want to go play hide and go seek with you. And they go into the corner and they put their hands over their eyes and say, come and find me. You'd probably walk in there and think there's some kind of developmental issue going on, right? What if they're 35 or 45 or 55? You'd think there's some kind of problem going on, right? That's not normal. Confession of sin is a lot like acknowledging who is in the room. Understand fully that God already knows and in no way is deceived or tricked by just because we pretend not to see that he's there. Like, that's literally what this whole stuff is. Just because we cover our eyes doesn't mean the reality of our sin and our offenses towards God go unnoticed. He is always with us. When I was younger, me and the crew I ran with, we used to run from police all the time. I've been in high-speed chases. We had the helicopter with the light on you. Mom, if you're watching this video, we were as safe as possible the whole time. But that's what we would do. And that was an adrenaline rush. I love adrenaline. Like, I admit, I'm going skydiving later today. Love it, okay? That right there, there's no feeling on earth like it. There's terror and there's excitement, all kind of stuff when you run from the cops. It's only fun because of the possibility of getting away with it. It's not fun if every time you get caught. So that's the thing with our sin too, in a huge way, is that it's only fun some of the times because we think that we're getting away with it. But that's the thing with God, we don't get away with anything. Like, he knows, the whole omnipresence thing, right? He is in all places at all times, sees all things for all of us. And so we don't get away with it. Here's the cool part. When I got saved, stuff was a lot different, whatever, at the time. But when I got saved, it was a blessing to know that I was caught. I didn't have to hide. I didn't have to sit there and, like, pretend to be something or try to, you know, work in the dark or whatever all the time. I was freed from that. And so when you know that he sees all things, that's an easier pill to swallow because you don't have to feel like you have to hide. And so I guess understand, like, the whole blessing that comes in confessing your sin. I've literally said this for years. The stuff I choose to confess is the stuff I tend not to struggle with anymore. It just, I don't know how it all works, but that's literally how it is for me. And it's same for you guys. The stuff that you tend to confess or you choose to confess is the stuff that you're not going to struggle with anymore. And so forgiveness is found through the confession of sin. Why? And in 1 John 1, 9 through 10 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. All of us in this room here today, everybody watching, everything like that, we're very publicly outed when Jesus died on the cross. God literally said, I know your sin, and this, my son, is your price, or is the price for it. Like, nobody in here can stand up and say, no matter how good you've been in your time since you've known Jesus your whole life, you're just one of those people that you're just naturally a good person, like my wife. She doesn't like sin. It's weird. Like, she's just not into it. It's not her thing, okay? That right there, she still has sin. I saw the sin part. He's still there, okay? So it's like, now here's, I put this in here. There's no small price. There's like three people on the planet that I have like deep-seated resentments towards. and it's a real struggle to love them and forgive them. About three people, okay? Which I'm kind of lucky it's only three, so that's kind of a win. But three people, right? At no point have I ever thought, I'm going to take my son, you know, or have the option to have my son die on a cross for their sins. It's never crossed my mind. That's not even something I would do now, and I'm like pretty zealous for the Lord. I wouldn't have my kid die for them, especially them. Like, if maybe like my wife, even then, not going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to happen, okay? That's what God did for us. Romans 5, it talks about when we were at our worst, Christ died for us. Like, the worst. So whatever darkest moment you have personally inside your soul, that was when he died for you. So the whole thing with that, it's like that's he put Jesus on the cross to say, you can't do it, but I can. So that's the gospel message is that we need Jesus, and the choice is always before us every single day. Are we going to choose our sin, or are we going to choose our Savior? And every single day, that's the choice that each of us have to decide for ourselves, what are we going to do with the time that we have? Are we going to choose our sin, or are we going to choose our Savior? So lesson number two. Lesson number two. Get off the couch. All right. My wife will be in here next service. She'll appreciate that one. So raise your hand here. Does anybody know Magic Jesus? Magic Jesus? No? No, if I remember, okay. You know, Magic Jesus is the one that takes away your struggles, gives you wild success, goals. He fulfills your highest dreams and requires no personal work from you. Magic Jesus. You don't know him? Okay. All right, I don't know him either. I'm just testing you guys, see if you did. So James 1, 22 through 26 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. I don't know what the word worthless in Greek means, but it can't be good, you know, right? So our love for Jesus is displayed when we obey him. It's crystal clear. If you are a Christian in this room and you don't choose to obey Jesus, it's not so much that you have a sin problem. Yeah, you probably do. But you really have a love problem more than anything else. Because it's our love for the Lord that drives the obedience that we're going to have towards him. Because I was saved, because I was set free, I knew all that kind of stuff. That's why I choose to sacrifice. That's why I choose to move forward. Literally, that's the only reasoning. If I do it because I'm trying to impress you guys, that just puts me farther away from Jesus altogether too. I become more self-righteous and just nasty on the inside. I don't need that junk. You guys don't need that. Studying your Bible and knowing the Greek and understanding all the nuances of Scripture does not bother Satan one bit. In fact, he'd probably encourage you guys to be in as many Bible studies as possible. Do what it says. That's what makes darkness tremble. When we obey the word of God out of love for him, that sort of stuff is actually what's going to, you know, again, change the world. Nobody cares about what we know. There's a bunch of other things out there, but he knows everything. So God's primary purpose is not that we would stop at only knowing the truth, but we would actively be seeking to live it out. That's the hard part, right? I can read. So it's really easy to sit here and do this for an hour a day. That's not bad. But when you got somebody yelling in your face, you don't like them, how are you going to love them well? That's where the rubber meets the road, or you get tempted, oh man, I can make a quick buck here, I could tell this lie here, I could steal this, I could do that, whatever you're into. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's the real hard part, meat of this stuff. Like, being able to quote a verse, that's cool. It's important, probably. But actually living out what that thing says is probably more important in your life and in the kingdom's good. So here's kind of a question that I hope it haunts you the same that it kind of haunts me. It's kind of funny, but does God actually mean what he says in here? Now, all of us, yeah, of course he means it. Yeah, we go to church. I get it. But does he actually mean it, though? Because if he actually means it, do we actually apply that to ourselves and say, when he gives a command, same with my kids. All right, good example. All right. I give them a command. I say, hey, go and do this. Put your shoes on. Real basic, right? And for some reason, that's the hardest thing in the universe to do. No idea. Like, it's an everyday thing. We do it 3-4 times a day. You should be used to it by now. I don't mean, hey, put your shoes on, but I mean go out and play. There's confusion going on when they do that. I mean go and put your shoes on. So do we actually take seriously the word of God when he commands us, love your wives as Christ loved the church? Like, husbands, do we take that sort of stuff on, especially when she's doing things we don't like and annoying us? As we annoy them, being all fair and whatnot, but just keeping it real, you know, those who've been married, you know. So our faith requires our active participation. If you want to have life change, it is up to you. No one will do this for you. If you're waiting around for someone or something to change you in your life or your situation, go grab a mirror. You are responsible for you. The church won't fix you. This building, these people, these won't fix you. The government won't fix you. Your political party, your policies, none of that stuff will fix you. Your spouse, your kids, your job, none of that stuff will fix you. It's kind of interesting. Anybody read Chronicles of Narnia before? Right? Great book. Awesome literature, right? Aslan does not show up and save the day all the time. In fact, he shows up very little in the entire series, which is kind of funny because majority of the problems and the circumstance and the troubles, they just have to go through it and figure out and make all the mistakes and learn and grow through all that stuff. That's a lot like C.S. Lewis, same with Lord of the Rings. Love Lord of the Rings, man. You guys get into that one too. Same thing. It's like the help does not always come. So I guess it's at the end of the day, to get into your minds, like have this be crystal clear, it's you and Jesus. You and you alone, Jesus and you alone. And I know that he is more than enough. Because I've gone through some ridiculous amount of dark times in life, and he has been more than enough. It doesn't feel like it. You're not sitting there on the floor weeping and crying and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Oh, Jesus, and you'll feel nothing. But for some reason, that hand never leaves. His hand never leaves. And also, full disclaimer for anybody out there that's lived a little bit, Jesus is not a quick fix. The dopamine hit or the pleasure hit that you get off of drugs or porn or food or gambling or whatever it is that you're into is much faster than what Jesus will do. You don't just pray, God, I feel like junk on the inside, you know, please help me. He just, bam, all of a sudden, pleasure unknown. He don't do that. I mean, maybe he does for you, but it ain't been that way for me and the majority of people I know. He's not the quick fix. But he is the only fix and the only thing out, the only one out there who isn't trying to kill you. Your sin is literally trying to take everything from you at all times. As innocent and as sweet as some of the things that we find ourselves into, that sin is literally and actively trying to kill us. And Jesus is the only one out there in the universe that's trying to give us life. And that's what we're trying to cling to. So he is worth the wait. John Owen had said very famously, be killing sin or it will be killing you. Couple your confession of sin with the work necessary to overcome it. There is no magic Jesus. We need to get off of our butts and do something about it. Like, your recovery, your life, your faith, all that stuff requires 100% your participation. No one can do it for you. Like, it's not Pastor Randy's job or Chris or anybody on the staff over here to fulfill the mission and the work of God. That is literally upon us. Like, a huge thing we talked about in the song just before, Revival. I have never heard of a revival coming any other way through the confession of sin and the turning away from it. Look at church history and all that kind of stuff. We can sing all day. That's great. Band sounds great. That does nothing unless we personally turn our lives and our wills over to God. Literally nothing. We're just singing words into the atmosphere, and that does nothing. But us getting on our faces before the Lord, repenting and turning away from that junk that we have going on in our lives, that's power. So, lesson number 3, making good time. Don't waste your time. That was good. Don't waste your time. All right. Psalm 39:4-5. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. I go to the gym with a guy named Bob, and Bob is 92 years old. Love the sweetest, cutest old man you'll ever meet, right? And every, I think he comes four, he said four times a week he comes, and he swims, 92 years old. And I asked him, I think it was Friday morning or Thursday morning, did it all go by in an instant for you, Bob? You're 92. And he said, yeah, looking back on it, it went by in an instant. And he's 92. All this time, everything we have, there is literally, we don't have the option to waste time, which is why, I guess a great example is my wife and I. We don't fight long term. We get about 6 hours, that's about it. And the reason why, I don't live forever here in this body. I don't have the time to sit and fight with you over everything. We need to figure it out, move past it, and go through it on the other side. The same with all of our relationships. We don't have time to sit and wait around for good things to come or whatever, the right things. You have to go and do it. We don't have just time to waste. So the very hard and difficult choices that I have made to get clean and to stay clean will have future blessings for the generations to come. I remember early on in the days that I worked in the accounting department, I could have headphones in. And I would blow out my eardrums with Chris Tomlin's song, How Great Is Our God. I'd literally, as loud as it could be, because I wanted the voices in my head that were screaming for me to go out and just forget it all, go get high, go get whatever. I wanted all that stuff to go away and just have Jesus in there, okay? So why I'm sharing that is because I know what it's like to fight against sin. I know what it's like to fight against myself and overcome when everything in you wants to give up and go back. That's why Celebrate Recovery is such an important ministry for our church and not just our the world as a whole, because that's the kind of, like, I don't know, maybe I struggle with sin more than other people do. Maybe I just want selfishly things that I shouldn't have more than other people, and I'm cool with that. It's the hand I was dealt, right? But I know where I go to take that stuff. So I know where I'm supposed to go and confess my sin, drop all that stuff off so I don't have to sit there and fight myself all day, every day. All that stuff that I give over and spend and invest in recovery, the life that I get to live as a result of doing those things is so much better than doing it on my own. And this is the hard road, but it leads to paradise. Straight up just does. Ephesians 15 through 17 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. It is not God's will for your life to be trapped in sin. Like, as a believer in this room, it is not God's will or his plan for you to sit here and just have dark, nasty, ugly sin just hanging out inside of you. That's not his plan for you. He wants more for you. He wants life. He talks about in chapter 10 of John, where he came to bring life and life to the full, right? That doesn't mean, oh man, everything sucks on the inside. I hate my life. Everything is miserable. It means giving that stuff over. He wants to, that's the parts of you that he wants to take care of and make well. Celebrate Recovery. I love this sentence. I wrote this one out. Celebrate Recovery is a platform God uses to help us work through the difficulty of the past, to change the reality of the present, and to usher us into a beautiful future. That's literally what this program is designed and created to do for all of us here. And those that apply it get the benefit of it. And you literally pull out of it what you choose to put into it. If you go in there and it's like, I'm here, but I'm not going to do anything with my time, that's exactly what you get. Same with church experience, same with all your relationships. You get out what you put in. You know what happens if you choose to do nothing about your sin struggle between this year and September 2022? Nothing. Except that you are now a year older, a year deeper in the hole, and farther away from the person that God wants you to be. So if you choose to go from this time and just say, all right, I hear what this guy's saying, but I'm not going to do anything, you're just going to end up waiting another year, another year, another year, until you get to the point where you're not here anymore. So, and my wife was harping on this one this morning too. So, Celebrate Recovery, every time I talk about it, it's like, oh man, that's for drug addicts and alcoholics or porn addicts or food addicts or gambling or whatever, right? My wife is none of those things, okay? Like I said, she doesn't like sin. It's not her thing, you know? So, the stuff that I struggle with today, like when I first came in, yeah, I was heavy on the drugs and the alcohol. Like I could not stop smoking weed, taking pills, cocaine, whatever, drinking, all that sort of stuff. But now today, I'm getting a 90-day chip, Lord willing, on Tuesday, because I haven't had tacos and Netflix after 8 p.m. in 90 days. Okay. It sounds funny. Now, okay, for those of you guys who drink wine, you drink beer at the end of the day, that was my, like, release from the day. If I had a stressful day, we're getting tacos. If I had an okay day, we're getting tacos. If I had a great day, we're getting multiple tacos. Like, it's, you know, like, that's how it is. But when you do that, I mean, like, I did the math on it one time. I'm actually on first-name basis with Mexican Village, La Potana. Like, I'm in, okay? It was a serious issue. I could not go without having that at the end of the night. That was my way to release and to be okay with everything that's going on in the universe that I can't control. And I have 90 days. I tried really hard for a couple of years. I mean, it's a fight for years, man. To get that point, I literally made 5 days at one point. That was the longest I'd ever gone. 90 days right now is the longest I've ever gone, ever. So I know it sounds dumb, but when you, it's legit, okay? Oh, and the other thing I'm actively working on right now, too, is I drink Starbucks coffee, and I just love complaining. I get a big old cup, some, a lot of espressos in there. I'll down that, and I just want to complain about stuff. Oh, that's not right. This isn't cool. And those are the kind of issues that I'm working on today. And that's cool. I'd rather face those sort of issues and bring that to Celebrate Recovery than it's like, oh, man, I'm going out, you know, I'm getting high or something like that. Like, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, again, you go from, you know, 14 years ago to today. If you would have told me 14 years ago those were my struggles, I'd have laughed in your face. I'm like, I please God, give me those struggles. You know, that would be a lot nicer, you know. So anyway, confess your sins, get off the couch, don't waste your time, and I'm going to see you on Monday nights. In a minute, I'm going to bring up Pastor Randy, and we're going to do the communion. In all seriousness, communion is a very, very serious thing to us. The body and the blood of Christ is what we take of utmost here. If you are actively, like, in your sin and you are, like, choosing that's what you want to do with your time, totally cool. I respect you for it. Do not take the bread and the juice cup. Like, as far as scripture, if you take any kind of scripture seriously, he says you're literally bringing judgment on yourself. So do not, if you are not willing to sit there and repent of your sin, do not take the cup. Let it pass from you. For those of you who take it and you see somebody next to you that doesn't take it, don't judge them. See me on Mondays. We got some self-righteous issues we got to work through, okay? You know what I mean? So don't judge. Yeah, I'm being real. Don't judge people because they're making a good choice. So just be real with yourself. You know who you are. You know what you're into. Don't take it if you don't. But the better option of the two, today's your day. Today's day. Everybody's got to have a day one. Today's your day one. Give your life, give your will. Say, Jesus, I am sorry. And I don't even want to give up my sin right now, but he's kind of making it awkward for me not to. Like, please, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. Just give it over, and then have today be your day one, and let's work through this stuff together. We're a family here at Stony. Like, I don't mind whatever stuff you're into. Let's get through it. Like, I'm in it. I'm with you. So, that being said, let's pray. We'll jump out of here. So, God, thank you so much again for this day. Thank you for the opportunity that we have, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to follow you and give ourselves and our wills over to you, Lord. We don't know what we're doing, and we need your help. Please, Holy Spirit, convict, guide, lead, and teach us what we need to say, do, and think, and how to lead from here. We love you, Lord, and we give you the glory. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Thanks, man. Cool. All right. Rock and roll.
Amen. Hey. Wait. Good stuff. Really good stuff. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. Just wanted to ask you, let's say I've heard your presentation today, sitting out there, and I'm thinking, you know, it's not just people that are putting a needle in their arm or maybe getting high all the time or drunk or whatever that need Celebrate Recovery. I mean, maybe it's tacos with me, all right? But if I decided to show up on a Monday night, I might be a little scared. What can I expect to happen? What will my experience be like? Come on into the light and just give us a word or two about that.
How I'm talking to you guys right now is how I'm going to talk to you on Monday nights. I don't know. I guess my brain is different. I look at literally, if you guys fear having people judge you or something like that, or you fear people or whatever, there's a very low view of God that's happening. God is significantly scarier than you or I will ever be. And so I look at it like, look, if you're serious about overcoming your sin, please come to the meeting. If you're scared, come in there and say, look, I'm scared. How many people, it takes a lot of courage to walk through the doors. and there is nobody in there that hasn't done that before you. Hmm. And so we're all here, we're all a family, and like I said, it's, you know, it's not weird. It's only weird if you think about it being weird. Does that answer? Is that
too much? Yeah. Okay. I'm wondering now if I show up, I'm there for the first time and everything, and I just kind of want to watch and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? Or do I have to, when I first walk in the door, list all my problems?
No. You're free to sit there and say, I'm here to listen tonight. Just want to pass. Mm-hmm. And you just pass that baton on, the guy goes over next to you, or men and the women are separated out. There's no, that's just awkward. So, yeah, there's nothing like that. You don't have to share anything you don't want to share. Like, we don't bite. I don't know. We're just like you guys. Just we did admit stuff. I don't know. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Excellent. Yes. Okay. Yes. Thank you very much. Okay. Good presentation, man.